all our hopes have come to be. And people gather around. They are all they can bring. The revolution starts now. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio, and we're that weird little music show on Sunday nights. This week, my guest is Mark Maron. You got a good list here, man.
You think so? I was kind of freaked out because I didn't know, you know, wait, should I just do one from jazz and one from country and one from classical? And then I realized, I don't listen to classical. I don't listen to that much jazz. Let's just go with what I know.
Yeah, well, this is, well, you can't go wrong with Muddy Waters.
That's for sure.
Muddy Waters on Air America Radio, rolling and tumbling. Our guest this week is Mark Maron, the Rolling Stones. This ought to finish out the segment.
Here we go. I'm ready.
Pleased to meet you. Listening to The Revolution Starts Now with Steve Earle on Air America Radio.
What you do is spinning around. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Mark Maron.
Yeah, I got to get going soon.
I know. I got
to get to bed, man.
Trying not to keep you up too late. I spent this whole week working on a piece for actually somebody else's book, this Beatles Reader.
Mm.
But I found myself having to be very careful not to weight it too heavily to John Lennon, because it's not really fair.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's one of those things. I mean, Paul McCartney is a great songwriter, but
yeah.
I'm always attracted to Lennon. And
well, I think he was the emotional drive shaft of the Beatles. That's like when you asked me to think of six songs, I'm like, I got to think of a Beatles song. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go with a John Lennon song. And this song, the one that I chose, Mother, every time I hear it, makes me tear up a little bit. It's just like there's something so raw, so real, and so honest about the way he sang on this album, the way he sang in general, that it just blows me away every time I hear it. Just as a human being, there was something about his personal struggle in the face of all the judgment he was facing culturally,
right,
that I found just amazing. And when I realized that all he was really fighting for was himself and his own voice, and how anyone wanted to depict that, and this song feels to me like the beginning of that personal struggle.
You're listening to the
Revolution Starts Now in your own backyard, in your own hometown. What you do to standing around, just follow your heart. Your revolution starts now.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. And our guest this week is Mark Maron, a fugitive from Morning's Edition. You'll make it in the morning.
I'm just going to sleep here.
Yeah, that's it.
Just crash here, man, right after the show.
That's the solution. You grew up in Albuquerque.
I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's right. My parents left New Jersey when I was young, and I grew up in New Mexico.
Albuquerque, I played there once or twice in the 80s. And I'll never forget my first gig there because we played, you know, my first record was largely played on country radio. Mm-hmm. And we played this club, and there were all these people that you could see that were standing in the back. And it wasn't a club that you stand up in. It was like, it was a country joint.
Yeah.
And the place was packed. And I was trying to figure out, who are all these people in the back? And somebody said, they're Indians, you know.
Oh, really?
And they don't normally come in this place, and they're a little nervous. And there was this tension in the room that you could get because it wasn't a place that
sure.
Native Americans from around there normally came into, but they were fans, so they came.
That's, you know? Right.
So
yeah,
nothing weird happened, but it was.
People don't
weird.
Realize that the Cowboys and the Indians issue is still an issue in some
It absolutely is in New Mexico. There is no doubt about it. Well, what's your next track on your playlist?
Well, you know, when I was young, my parents bought me the Beatles' second album, and I fell in love with the song "Roll Over, Beethoven." So I had to come full circle, get back around to Chuck Berry's version of it. But I became obsessed with the song, and I had Mountain's version of it. And so this is the original.
How many people have recorded this song?
It's unbelievable, and it's just a masterpiece. It's Chuck Berry's "Roll Over, Beethoven."
Jumping little record I want my jockey to play. Roll over, Beethoven, I gotta hear it again today. You know my temperature rising, the jukebox blowing a fuse. My heart beating rhythm and my soul keep a singing the blues. Roll over, Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. I got the rocking pneumonia, I need a shot of rhythm and blues. Caught the rolling off the writer sitting down at a rhythm review. A roll over, Beethoven, they're rocking in 2x2. Well, if you feel it and like it, go get your lover, then reel and rock it. Roll it over, then move on up just a trifle further, then reel and rock with. Run another roll over, Beethoven, dig these rhythm and blues. She wiggle like a glowworm, dance like a spinning top. She got a crazy partner, you ought to see him reel and rock. Long as she got a dime, the music won't never stop. A roll over, Beethoven. 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 Dig to the rhythm and blues.
Chuck Berry on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Mark Maron. That's, you know, that's it.
It's so funny. I was telling my wife about it last night. I was trying to explain my passion for Chuck Berry because when I was younger, it was about the guitar. Now it's about the lyrics. And I was saying, without Chuck, there's no Bob Dylan. Listen. And I started singing Roll Over Beethoven in the Dylan accent. You know, Bill Tchaikovsky, the news.
Yeah.
And you're like, that guy could turn a phrase. He had the pace. He had the poetry. I mean, there isn't any future of rock lyrics, you know, without
about him.
No. He had something that I think. I mean, for one thing, I've always believed that you know, rock and roll comes from you know, a fusion of black and white music that sort of happened in two different places in Memphis. You know, mm-hmm. with the Elvis records, because Sam Phillips had been recording, you know, R&B artists, and then, you know, he gets a hold of Elvis and he has that catalog. And then Chuck Berry, you know, comes out of the Air Force where he'd been exposed to, I mean, Maybelline's a country record.
Yeah. Memphis is kind of country too.
Absolutely. Yeah. See, as you know, we're talking about a song. Memphis is a really great story song. Completely and totally turns around at the end. What are we playing next?
Velvet Underground, right?
Yeah.
What goes on, the reason I like them is just, like, they were the band when someone turned me on to them where it's sort of like, oh, man, there's something else going on out there. And I missed all this stuff, Steve. You know, this stuff all happened before me, so I had to catch up with a lot of it. But, you know, for me, the Velvets were the entry into Brian Eno. They were the entry into David Bowie. They were the entry into that whole world of texture and sexuality that was peculiar to me at the time.
Velvet Underground.
Be good and do what you should.
You're listening to The Revolution Starts Now with Steve Earle on Air America Radio.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Air America's own Mark Maron. And the beat, you know, like beat literature in general for me was something I had to backtrack to because I'm 50 years old. And so I discovered Jack Kerouac from reading The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test by Tom Wolfe.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Cassidy's very much in part of that story. And I backtracked all that stuff because I've sort of had this theory that decades actually begin as far as the way they fit together socially in the middle. Like 1955 through 65 have more to do with each other than 1960 through 1970 did. Something seems to happen in the middle of decades.
Yeah.
And the beat thing is, we're still going back to that stuff.
I had to go back for everything.
Yeah.
I'm younger than you, but that book is great because there's that scene where it's the two schools of acid use. You got the Keezy and the Pranksters.
The summit between the Pranksters and Milbert Farm.
Yoga, you know, and they show up, they're like, we're at acid. And Leary's like, hey, come on, I'm doing the yoga thing up here. You know what I mean? Right. Was that the scene?
Yeah, the bridge between that is the kind of frightening scene where they stop in Houston on the way and they go to Larry McMurtry's house.
Oh, yeah.
Because him and Keezy are friends. And this, you know, one part where I'm trying to think, because one of the girls on the bus grabs, you know, McMurtry's kid. And she loses at that point and ends up, like, wandering off naked into Houston. And they leave her there.
Right, exactly.
as far as I know, she's still wandering naked around Houston somewhere.
He did some records, this kid, right? Wasn't it Frank?
James McMurtry. He's a great, great songwriter. I've known James since, you know, since before he was making records, and I've never had the nerve. I always wanted to ask him if that had to have been him.
Yeah. Do you remember a naked lady in Houston tripping on acid, running off?
Coming to your door. You know, there are people that will discount the whole beat thing, but for me, you know, I mean, some of it, you know, I think, you know, probably William Burroughs is overrated, and the thing about
great comic,
the guy
was hilarious, and he used to talk about those things as bits.
Did you see Drugstore Cowboy?
Yeah,
that one scene in it where you know, the Matt Dillon character brings in all the stuff he's selling from the drugstore, and he dumps it out on the bed, and he goes, Okay, that stuff, squares take this.
We
don't need that. He starts separating.
Delighted.
I haven't watched that movie in recent years. I don't know whether I could watch it again. But
I love Burroughs.
It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm. I love Burroughs. What this has to do with Johnny Cash, I have no idea.
Oh, it has everything to do with Johnny Cash. I mean, someone asked Townes Van Zandt who his two biggest influences were. He said Robert Frost and Lightnin' Hopkins. And I don't even want to talk to people that can't understand that. Johnny Cash was a hipster. Believe me, Johnny Cash knew who Jack Kerouac was.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, have you ever read, you know, Cash wrote short stories from time to time.
I have not read them.
Were science fiction stories. Mm-hmm. There's a collection of fiction that Roseanne put together. And the first story she included is a science fiction story that Johnny Cash wrote in, like, 1966.
Really?
And it's
the beauty
stunning.
Of Benzedrine.
Yeah.
The speed saucer.
Yeah, there's some stories about, you know, like Cash and Jack Clement, like when Johnny Horton died. You know, Johnny Horton supposedly believed in reincarnation, and they got, you know, they've been up for a few days, and they're mourning the loss of Johnny Horton, and they go to Brentwood, Tennessee with a pistol and jump the fence and talking to this farmer's cows. And if, you know, Johnny, is that you? And if the cow didn't answer, they shot it.
Oh, and good
so
story.
June had to come get them because they were in jail for destroying, you know,
cows.
Three prize Charolais cattle. So it has everything to do with Johnny Cash.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3 and he didn't leave much. to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard, my wits got keen. Roamed from town to town to hide my shame. But I made me a vow to the moon and stars, I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man that gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I'd just hit town and my throat was dry. I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew at an old saloon on a street of mud. There at a table, dealing stud, sat the dirty mangy dog that named me Sue. Well, I knew that snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother'd had. And I knew that scar on his cheek and his evil eye. He was big and bent and gray and old, and I looked at him and my blood ran cold. And I said, my name is Sue. How do you do? How you gonna die? Yeah, that's what I told him. Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes, and he went down, but to my surprise, come up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a-gouging in the mud and the blood and the beard. I tell you, I've fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh and then I heard him cuss, and he went for his gun and I pulled mine first. He stood there looking at me and I saw him smile. He said, son, this world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he's gotta be tough. And I know I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I give you that name and I said goodbye. I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And it's that name that helped to make you strong. Yeah. Now you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in your eye, cause I'm the that named you Sue. Yeah, what could I do? What could I do? I got all choked up and I threw down my gun, called him a paw and he called me a son, and I come away with a different point of view. And I think about him now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm gonna name him Bill or George, anything but Sue. I still hate that name.
Johnny Cash on Air America Radio. Our guest this week has been Mark Maron. We're going to let you go so you can get some sleep.
Yeah, I'm just going to crawl up
just
in the corner
there,
here.
The sleeping bag's over there.
Thanks,
this
Steve.
Is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Revolution Starts Now on Air America Radio.